Everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve the living God, the living and true God. He has so much to say to us, and his blessings surround us and even overtake us. Heaven is listening to the prayer you will pray. When you pray for others and when you command your life according to the Word of God, you know, you do have a say-so, and heaven recognizes your say-so. That's why Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is also loosed in heaven. Now, these two statements mean so much to us because God can deliver us in so many ways. But it's according to our word, the things we say, the things we speak. The things we bring forth. It's all right with God if you live. It's all right with God if you command His will in your life. If you say with your mouth, just like you say with your mouth that you believe on Jesus Christ and you confess your sins and you say with your mouth that you believe on Jesus Christ and you act on the fact that you've been forgiven. See, when people know they've been forgiven, they act different than when they live in sin. And the will of God gets in your mouth. It gets in your words. And if it gets in your words, it also gets in your actions. And the things you speak carry so much weight. We are made in God's image. Whatever God wants something to be, whatever He speaks, that's what has to happen. And we have to order our lives according to the wisdom of God and not according to the rudiments of this evil world. We are not supposed to allow darkness to flood our lives. We're not supposed to allow any form of darkness to invade our life. But we're supposed to take the life of God and grow it and shape it the way we want it in our lives. Now, the last two broadcasts, we talked about how you can shape your will by the Word of God. You can speak life to your will. You can speak life to your emotions. You can speak life to your body, to the condition of your mind. If you have trouble reading and have trouble learning, you can say with your mouth in faith that you learn, that you read, that you can learn a second language or a third language or whatever you want to learn. See, when you speak something by faith, you change the facts. Whatever you lack, you can receive. Now, some things, with all faith, work is also involved. When it comes to healing, even the restoration of your emotions, a bereaved heart, a bereaved mind. Jesus did the work of those things. He paid a high cost so that you can have a healed body, a sound mind. Your emotions can be healed just like your spirit man is made new. See, the body and the mind, we renew them day by day. We renew our mind day by day in the Word of God. We have to claim healing. Even though our body is dying, death is working in our bodies. The last enemy that the Lord will defeat is death. But death is working in our body. But all the days that we love on earth, until we're satisfied with life, we can live in hell. That's God's will. And if you're willing to do what's necessary to have a healthy life, you can have it. It's not up to God as much as it is up to you. You know not to do the things that cause death. You know not to eat too much of the same thing. You know not to do anything that will harm your body. But when things go wrong with it, and when the enemy throws an attack, You can speak, you can quote the word of God. You can speak life to whatever part of your body is in trouble. And it has to be healed. And some people don't feel like they have the skill to master such things. Well, for them, all you got to do is go to the elders and they'll pray for you and you will be healed. And like I always say, the elders are those who have a track record of believing God. People who live by faith. Anybody that can live by faith, anybody who can take God at His word, and they'll lay hands on you and you'll be healed. Now, faith comes from hearing the word of God. There are some preachers that don't believe in healing or they don't operate in healing as much as others. Those that do, they heard the word on it. What makes a man an elder or a woman an elder is when they apply, when they grow in the word and they apply in their lives. They'll pray for you, you will be healed, you won't have the trouble any longer. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Whenever there's a need for a lifestyle change, the Holy Spirit will help you in that area as well. He can guide you in what to do and what to change and how to change the facts on the ground where you are. Sometimes when I've seen pastors lay hands on people, the word of knowledge is given as one of the spiritual gifts. Sometimes before hands are laid on them, or even after, the Lord will lay on the on the pastor's heart or whoever's praying, whatever man of God, He'll lay on their heart to say things to the person. And sometimes they'll give a word of knowledge. And one time a friend of mine, the Lord told him that he had to forgive somebody that was in strife with him. And when he did, everything worked out. And he was healed of his cancer and his insurance things went right. Everything went right that was going wrong. But once he forgave, then God was able to do the blessings that he needed. Now, sometimes when we think of forgiving people, we think of people that offend us. Sometimes it's people that are offended with us as well. Some people we need to go to and get things right. And we need to forgive them. And then God can bless our lives. Now, I don't want any prayers hindered. I don't want anything, whenever I can have an offering I want to give to God, I want to be able to give it to Him and not be restricted. I endeavor to live at peace with all men as much as possible. I try not to offend people on purpose. I try to carry myself the way that God blesses me. I try to carry myself right. But when there's a misunderstanding, it's very important that we go clear it up. And when anybody we need to forgive them. Because God has greatly forgiven us. And I don't want people to hold grudges against me and not forgive me either. Because that's not good for them. I don't want any of their sins retained if they won't forgive me. This life is a serious life and we have to order it according to the will of God. And I pray for people. I pray for people whether I like them or not. I call their name and I mean it. And I love them. When I learned about the power of forgiveness and I knew that God wanted me to forgive my enemies, I didn't want to hold anything back from God. So I actually started with my enemies. People that I didn't like or people that I knew didn't like me. And I saw them differently. I began to see them differently as the Lord gave me His wisdom. And God loves His people. He has so much to say to us. And He wants to clarify things. He wants to bless us greatly in life. And He can. But we have to learn to love His people. We have to walk in the kindness of God. sincerely, that unfeigned love of God that I always like to talk about. That's when we see God move the most. That's when we learn who He is the most. And that's how it works. Now God loves us, He cares about us, He's looking to be a blessing to us, and He wants us to go forward in Him. But whatever you speak, whatever need you have, consider what the words say about it and speak life to your problems. Speak life against your problems. Speak life to heal your body, to heal your mind, to walk in newness of life, to receive God's best. Speak life. And take back what the Lord has, take what the Lord has given you, take back what the enemy has stolen, and don't let him steal anymore. Like I said in the last broadcast, you have to learn to manage Satan and not let him tear your life down. Every good thing that God is trying to bless you with and give you, He's trying to get in the middle of it and restrict you from having it, or restrict you in life, or create fires of strife among your people. And as Christians, we don't have to get involved with every form of strife that comes our way. We don't have to be restricted by other people's opinions and their animosities and the way that they restrict themselves against God. People are not going to see you like God sees you much of the time. Some people will see you in a good light, but it doesn't matter. Treat them right anyway. People are not going to understand your good always, but be good anyway. People are not going to bless you like you bless them, but bless them anyway. Walk in that unfeigned love and enjoy the presence of God in the process. See, when people see you consistently love them and they know they're not right towards you, people know better. They know that they're not being a friend to you. They know they're overlooking you. And for whatever reason, they don't have your back. But do good to them anyway. On your job, work is under God anyway. In spite of all that goes on and all the mean-spirited things people do, enjoy the life of God and do it God's way anyway. God has given us rich, abundant power to do such. And He will be with you and help you do it. The Lord our God is looking for people He can bless, people He can be a blessing to, people that will hear Him out, people that will talk to Him and take Him serious. If you want God to take you serious, take Him serious. Be faithful with His word. Be faithful with all that He gives you to do, because He has all the resources at your disposal. It's up to you. We have to receive. It's our job to receive what God says and act on it. If we can do our part, then God can do His part. If you want heaven to respond to you, you got to be faithful first. You got to operate in faith. You got to take God at His word. And only then you can have what you say. You got to know what God has given you, and you have to believe it by faith. And that is reasonable. See, our faith is made, our righteousness is only made possible by our faith in God, our faith in the finished works of Jesus. We have to believe it. Our sins remain if we don't believe it. That's why James said, "Purify your hands, you sinners." People who willfully sin, stop doing it. And then he said, "Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Because when we're double-minded against Christ, when we believe in one moment and not the next, then we're not righteous like we should be. We're not sane. When we take God at His word in faith, that's when we're righteous. That's why we're righteous. Now, we believe on Jesus, that settles it. Now, in the days that that Paul was preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel, the Jews, the hard-hearted, now all Jews were not like that, but there were factions of Jews that would go around and try to blend in the doctrines of men along with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted them to be circumcised. And Paul had to write in 2 Colossians chapter 2 not to partake of these man-made rules. Now, they were useful in the law to help us understand the types and shadows that reveal Christ. But they were not necessary after Christ came. He fulfilled the law. We don't need symbols, types, and shadows when we have Jesus Christ, our Savior. Once His blood washed away our sins, we were forgiven of all of our sins. We don't need to give offer animals as sacrifices ever again. We don't need to be circumcised. Circumcision never made us righteous. It was just something to distinguish that you had faith in God, something to distinguish and set you apart from those of the world. That's why David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. But some people thought because they were circumcised in their flesh, they were right with God. Circumcision never made anybody righteous. The Lord wanted a circumcised heart. He wanted a heart that believes on Him. He wanted a heart that soberly and purely trusts Him and take Him at His word. It's easy to miss the point. And people try to judge you and say that you need to do this and you need to do that along with believing on Jesus. Jesus did it all for you. And that doctrine caused people to be double-minded. And it caused many problems. The Lord our God will never ignore faith. Faith, all faith, when we operate by faith, we access the best things that heaven has to offer us. And it's important. The Lord wants to do a good thing. He's looking for people He can bless. He wants you to thrive in life. But He wants us to, we have to be willing about it. Having faith in God, taking God at His word, it needs to be on purpose. It needs to be done in order. Your will is involved. Just like we said, the wrong things can't make you righteous, but faith in the finished works of Jesus does make you righteous. And people look at things of the flesh. Remember, man wants to be able to master his will without God's will. He wants to be in control. In other words, man wants a religion he can control. And they want God to do their part. And it doesn't work that way. The Lord made you righteous through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He died for you to make you righteous, and He did. Now, your responsibilities are your responsibilities, and they'll always be regarded as your responsibilities. You have to believe God and take Him at His word. The grace of God and the word of God is available to you. You have to receive it. You have to speak it. And you have to ordain your life the way you want it to go. You have to command your life. What you say matters. In the last broadcast, we talked about Scarlett O'Hara in the movie Gone with the Wind. After the Civil War, she was used to being rich, and she shook her fist and said, "I will never be poor again." She made a statement to direct her life the way she wanted it to be. And she was willing to do whatever she thought she had to do to make it happen. But the part that blessed me was the fact that she made a statement. She made a solid statement. And you can do that. Now, sometimes in life, people just They make a statement like that, and it works. That was a, I forgot which side he was fighting on during the Civil War. I think it was a Union soldier said he'll never be killed by a rebel soldier. Could have been the other way around, but I think it was a Union soldier said, I will never be killed by a rebel. And in all kind of battles, when he should have been killed, he wasn't killed. But eventually he was accidentally killed by friendly fire. But he still made a steadfast statement, and he was not killed by the rebel soldier. Sometimes people do these things and they mean it, but they made a statement. Now, how much more should we? We have the promise of God, of God's word, given to us as a grace. You can speak all of those blessings in your life if that's what you want to do. That's why God said, that's why Jesus said, what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What are you loosing on earth? Are you loosing the blessings of God from heaven to your life? Are you loosing the blessings of God from the written pages to the tangible actions of your life? Are you making the statements of faith you need to make? Are you binding the things that should be bound? The enemy, where he is running rampant. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. If you don't manage Satan and put him in jail and out of the works of your life, then God won't do it either. The Apostle Paul was wanting God to do something about the works of the enemy because he was trying to do God's will. It doesn't work that way either. Even if you're doing God's work, and you're operating on God's behalf, and you're seeking to be a blessing to his people, you still have to put the enemy out of your life. You have to manage him. You have to run him out of business. You have to take down his works against you. You don't let them continue. You have to say something. Because God's not going to do it for you. Because you don't need him to do it for you. Because the grace he gave you is sufficient for you to speak the word. And what you bind on earth, my friend, is bound in heaven. Only then is it bound in heaven. Only then is it bound in heaven. It's always important that we stick with the plan that God has set up. If we can stick with the plan that God set up, we learn to operate the system that God has provided us with. That's going to make the difference. Now, when people allow the enemy in their life somewhere, that's not God's will. And years ago, people would teach error in the name of God's doctrine, and it never would work. The only thing that the Holy Spirit can bless us with is the pureness of God's word. Anytime people preach error is true, like the Jews were trying to do against Paul, and he had to write Colossians chapter 2 to counter it. Anytime people do that, that's not of the Holy Spirit. So if it's not of the Holy Spirit, it never came from the heart of God. And if it didn't come from the heart of God, it's not going to work in your life. The Word of God is the only thing God can honor. That's where our faith comes from. And as long as we're in faith, we can operate according to God's perfect will in our lives. Now, with that being said, work the Word of God. Speak life. Just like Scarlett O'Hara did, that's a prime example. She said, I will never be poor again. Winston Churchill did it also. He told the British people that were listening on the radio, those who could hear him, those who still had power, electricity, because the bombs of Germany was falling. He encouraged the people of Great Britain, we will never surrender. And that was that. He said it, he meant what he said. And they ended up having what they said. He inspired the nation because the people were looking to its leader, and thank God they had a good leader, a courageous leader. He said, we will never surrender. And when I heard him on the History Channel say that, I just, it's like I stood up in my chair. I was proud of what he did, what he had done. That's the same model that you're going to have to direct your life. Take charge of your life. A lot of people are waiting on God to take charge of their life. They think that's being humble. Now, in the parable of the talent, God showed us what humility is. That's when you take what God give you and obey God with it. Three men were given talents. One of them five, one of them two, one of them one. And the one that only had one talent buried his talent. And the one that had five double his, he multiplied. Because he was faithful with the five that he had. He yielded 10, whereas he was given 5. The one that had that was given 2 talents, he yielded 4, where he had 2. And he was commended of his Lord. And the one that was the most faithful, the one that was able to take more and make and double it, he received the one that the last one had, and the other one was cast into outer darkness. So it's not God's will for us to sit back and do nothing, waiting on God to do it for us. That's not being humble. That's closer to being in pride, because they fear failure. I would rather fail trying to do right than do nothing and never get anywhere. See, failure is also, you can learn from failure, but you can't learn from doing nothing, but it don't work. Don't be afraid of failure. Go out there and boldly charge your life. Anytime you try to do anything, there are going to be points of failure, but it's not going to stop you. And people will laugh at you, and it'll seem true, but it's not. And because you speak words of faith, the fractions of time that it seems like it's not working can't compare with forever where it does work. Now, most of the things of God don't look like it'll work, but it does. God took one man, allowed sin in the world, and God used one man. He sent one man to give his only his life. He laid down his life for all of us, and he got rid of sin for us. Now, we're going to have to hear him out. We're going to have to do it God's way in order to work the word of God in our lives. If we don't work the word of God in our lives, God is not going to work the word in our life for us against our will. We got to do it by faith. We got to do it in agreement, and we got to do it on purpose. You have to take charge of your life. You have to direct it. You have to say, for your case and for your people, we will never surrender. You have to let the devil know that you will never surrender, that you will carry forward and do the things of God and not let the things that God give you fall and fail. When we appreciate the way God set things up, we find out that it works. The word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth.
and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we need to operate in obedience like he did. This is Philippians chapter 2, and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, before it said all that, in the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1 reads, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, you know, that deep feeling from your heart. Verse 2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not on every man of his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind of a servant. Receiving God's word, taking responsibility, working the word of God that our lives may heal from the inside out. The healing process of salvation that begun in you, it can be delivered to others. The same kindness and love and righteousness that God has given you, you can share it with others. And you can command your life in the way it should go in the presence of others. They'll see the results of your faith. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to help you carry out his will in your life. You learn his will, you speak it and do it, it will work.